Well, as Allie said, my name's Pastor Dan. I'm on staff here at Bismarck Baptist Church, and usually I get to lead y'all in worship, and I enjoy that, but every now and then I get the opportunity to share what God's laid on my heart for you all, and so for that, I'm super excited to be here this morning. Many of us share a common childhood story in which we packed up all of our bags and we told our parents, we're out of here, I'm running away, never to return again, right? Even if you've never ran away from home or anything like that, we've all ran away from something. But have you ever ran away from God? This morning, we're going to take a look at the story of Jonah. Jonah is definitely a kid favorite. It's shared in many vacation Bible schools and every Sunday school class, and because of the novelty of this big fish. It's incredibly compelling for kids. But when we look at it as adults, there's going to be a couple things I say today that I hope challenges us a little bit. So we're going to jump right into it. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, here we go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. God speaks to Jonah and tells him, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. But here's what you need to know is the people of Nineveh were evil. They were evil, nasty, wicked, vile people, downright brutal, especially to the Israelites, which is what Jonah was. And God tells Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh with a message from me to call them out on their wickedness. And Jonah's response is absolutely not. No way, no how, I am not going. No way. And so, just to give us a visual, I want to show you a map. And so, Joppa is down towards the bottom of the map. And Nineveh, if he were to go to Nineveh, it'd be 550 miles up in that direction. Where does Jonah go? 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. Away from God. And at this point, we don't necessarily know why Jonah ran away, but have you ever ran away from God? For what reasons have you ran away from God? Has God ever called you to do something significant for him, for the kingdom, but it was too big, it was too scary, too expensive, too dangerous, whatever excuse we come up with? Has God ever called you and you said, no, God, I can't do it? I mean, this picture right here, this is the story of my life. And it seems to me that every time that I run away from God, how many of you would agree that it seems to get worse before it gets better? And that's exactly what happens for Jonah. Let's pick up on verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Jonah knows what this storm is all about. God sent this storm to turn Jonah around. Jonah, you're going the wrong way, man. Turn around now. Turn around. I need you to go to Nineveh. And what Jonah does, this is hilarious. Jonah, verse 5, but Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell asleep. Jonah took a nap. What did he do? He just ignored God. God, I'm not even listening anymore. How many of us have ever been here before? God is speaking, and you know what he's trying to say, but God, I'm not even going to listen anymore because I know what you're trying to do here. Maybe just by ignoring God, maybe he'll just leave me alone. So those on the boat, the others on the boat, they're trying to figure out why this storm was so vicious. And for them, who are not Christians, their thought must have been, there must be somebody on this boat who has completely teed off the little g gods to cause such a storm. So what they ended up doing is casting lots, which is like rolling dice, pulling straws, trying to figure out the divine will of God. And all, lo and behold, all the lots fell on Jonah. And so they start questioning Jonah. Verse 8, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And this terrified them. What have you done? They said. The others on the boat, they weren't even Hebrews. They didn't even believe in God. But yet they knew that Jonah had done something terribly wrong to cause such a storm. What have you done? Well, the storm continues to get stronger and stronger, and they asked Jonah, what do you want us to do with you? And Jonah said, just throw me over. Just throw me into the sea. I have ran away from the Lord. I can't even come back anymore. I can't ignore him anymore. I can't face him anymore. Just throw me into the sea. So they threw Jonah out of the boat. And when they did, the storm calmed immediately. And this really should have been the end of the story. It should have been the end of Jonah's life right here. But verse 17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. The key word here is this. The Lord provided. The Lord provided, even when Jonah turned away from God, when Jonah ignored God, the Lord still provided. This here, this is such good news. Allie just prayed about it. This is such good news. No matter how far we run away from God, no matter how hard we try to ignore God, God is in still pursuit of us. Well, finally, in the belly of the fish, when Jonah has nowhere else to go, he finally prays to God. When his life hits rock bottom, Jonah has no other options. He is in the belly of a fish. What is he going to do? He cries out to God, and the entire chapter 2 of the book of Jonah is Jonah's prayer to God. The belly of the fish is life's lowest point. It is rock bottom. If you are there, if that is you, I want to encourage you to read chapter 2 of Jonah. When you get home today. And then it says, the fish vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the Lord again comes to Jonah, and Jonah, man, I need you to go to Nineveh. Probably in a much more God-like voice. Jonah, I need you to... It's my best God impersonation. I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, fine, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. Just so we're clear, I still don't want to go, but I'll do it. Because you said so. And what happens? Jonah's simple obedience to God produces supernatural results. In other words, results that really only God can do. Jonah goes to Nineveh and preaches the most powerful sermon ever given, ever, and it was 8 words long. And some of you are thinking, Dan, you're already 2,000 words into this thing. Shorten it up. 8 words long. Here it is. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. 8 words. 8 words, and the great city of Nineveh turned from their wicked ways. Everyone, all of them, even the king, 120,000 people saved because of Jonah's obedience. So if you're asking yourself today whether or not God can still use you, you better believe it. You better believe it. God can absolutely use you. Jonah chapter 3 ends with this. God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways. He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is amazing. Amazing. It's too bad the story doesn't end here. What a great ending that would have been. And for most of my life, this is actually how I thought that it did end. I didn't even know there was a chapter 4 to Jonah. But we have to go on to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. What? Why? How could you possibly be angry, Jonah? You were drowning and God sent a fish to save you and you're angry? You went to Nineveh, you said 8 words, and all these mean, terrible, awful, wicked people they quit doing bad things. They were saved, and you're... Why, Jonah, are you still angry? Just tell me. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. This is why I went, he said. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. You see, back in chapter 1, we read that Jonah was running away from God, but we were never really told why. Was he scared? Did he feel inadequate? No. No, none of the above. We find out right here. He told God, I knew, God, that you are gracious. I knew that you are compassionate, God. I knew that you are slow to anger and abounding in love. It's really hard to say those words in a mad voice. These words that Jonah speaks, they're not new words. This isn't the first time we see them. And they wouldn't be new to Jonah either. This phrase, this is something that can be found in the Old Testament 9 times. Psalm 103:8, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. 9 times. And every time we hear these words put together, it is in an instance where people are giving praise to God. except this time. Except this time, Jonah uses these words as a way to criticize God. Why is Jonah angry? Because Jonah hates the Ninevites. He can't stand the thought of God showing compassion towards them. He tells God, I didn't want you to spare the Ninevites. I wanted you to destroy them. That's what I wanted. Now, before we get too hard on Jonah, are we much different? Because it seems to me that it takes a lot less for us to hate people these days. I mean, if you want to get me to hate you, all you got to do is come in here with a Dallas Cowboys jersey on. I'll hate you right away. Forever, probably. I'm just kidding. But seriously, we despise people for everything. Our youth pastor, Matt, told me this week, he despises people for chewing with their mouth open. We despise refs for making a bad call at a ball game. Maybe you even despise a whole group of people for not thinking the same way you do on particular issues or politics or this or that. A few weeks ago, our Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And the immediate reaction of my heart was just overwhelming joy. And I went on to Facebook, and I had many, many close friends even share thoughts on the other side of this situation that I found to be wicked. And I found myself despising them for it. Close friends. I don't think that's the will of God. Let's get back to the story here. Verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. This is the funniest part of the story. I have this picture in my mind of Jonah going outside the city with his lawn chair in one hand and a cooler full of cold beverages in the other hand, and he is going to find a spot in the shade, sit back, and enjoy the fireworks. His plan was to sit there and wait for God's wrath to rain down. And he was going to sit back and enjoy the show. That was his plan. But again, how different are we? We love it when people fail, don't we? Especially when the people we despise get what they deserve, right? How many of you have a boss who's a total jerk? Not me. That was not me raising my hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell us. But how would you feel if your boss, who's a total jerk, finally got fired, got what they deserved? Let's go on. Verse 6. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Jonah is completely fed up with God at this point. He is done. And how does God respond to Jonah? Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, Jonah said, and I am so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, but you did not tend to it. You didn't make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. God says to Jonah, how can you be mad about the plant? You didn't even plant it. You didn't water it to make it grow. You did nothing to do with this plant. It was just given to you. Jonah, you didn't do anything to deserve it. Jonah, you didn't deserve me coming after you when you ran away, but I did it anyway. Jonah, you didn't deserve me sending a fish and providing a fish when you were drowning, but I did it anyway. Jonah, do you not see it? I am always giving people what they don't deserve. You are so angry that I didn't give Nineveh what they deserve, but I also didn't give you what you deserve. Jonah, you hate Nineveh. But what you don't see is there's Nineveh inside of you. Jonah, this plant that I give you represents my grace, in which I am always willing and I am always giving my grace when people don't deserve. I long to give you my grace, Jonah, but I long to give my grace to the people that you hate as well. So I have to ask us in this room, are you okay with that? God wants to give the grace to the people who lie about you. The people who are mean to you, who betray you. God wants to give his grace to the people that have torn your life apart. Are you okay with that? God gives his grace so freely. And you know what? You may even be okay with that. But are you willing to do the same? See, when we accept grace for ourselves while withholding grace from others, it is so incredibly damaging to us. It actually makes us angry and bitter. It eats us away from the inside out. It makes us miserable. Jonah is miserable. He mentions four times, he would rather die than God show grace to Nineveh. It's a nasty cycle. Someone hurts me, and now I want to hurt them back, which causes them to want to hurt me. It goes on and on and on. I debated back and forth this week if I wanted to go here in my message. But what I'm about to share, I share so that if any of you are dealing with the same situations, that you may learn. But for the last 3 years, mine and Allie's family has been absolutely torn apart because they have chosen to withhold grace from one another. They are so caught in this vicious cycle of hurt. And they're miserable. And unless they choose grace, they will remain miserable until the day that they die. This is the last we hear from Jonah. This is it. We never see Jonah ever again. He is angry. He is bitter. He is miserable. And the story ends. But we do see a similar story many years later. God came to another man and told him, I need you to go and share a message to these people. I need you to go so that they would be spared from what they deserve. And by the way, they're going to reject you. They're going to betray you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to spit on you. They're going to mock you. They're going to put nails through your hands and your feet, and they're going to put you on a tree. My son, they will crucify you. And as you die, say the words, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. You see, while we're down here withholding grace from one another, even our own families, even our own friends, especially our enemies, while we are down here withholding grace from one another, God sends Jesus to be grace for us. We should be the ones that died on that cross. That's what we deserve. But what is grace? Grace is not getting what we deserve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, this can be so challenging. This can be so hard when the hurt and pain that somebody has caused goes so deep that it pierces our heart in places we didn't know exist. But is it not true that the pain that I must have caused you through my sin, through my own rebellion, from my running from you, from my ignoring of you, that it must have caused a pain so deep. But you did it anyway. You died on a cross so that there would be a grace for me. Lord, give us what it takes to be able to share grace with those around us. To share your love with those around us. We pray all this in your name. Amen.